Hi, I'm Ashton Gustafson, and welcome back to Lesson 3 of the Lovable Mini Course with Dr. Kelly Flanagan. Those of you that have been with us, you know in Lesson 1 we had a quick overview of the three essentials of a truly satisfying life, and then we started to dig into them, especially in Lesson 2 we started to dig into worthiness with this idea that it isn't earned, it's remembered. And now here we are into Lesson 3, and it's called Belonging. Don't find your friends, let them find you. So let's now join Dr. Kelly Flanagan. Okay, so Kelly, question as we move into Lesson 3, Belonging, Don't Find Your People, Let Them Find You. Love that title, by the way, and subtitle. My question is this: is it possible to remember your worthiness and still feel alone, still struggle to find that belonging in the world? Because we're talking through these steps. There's a progression here. Is it possible to remember your worthiness and still feel alone?
Yeah, I do think it is. There's as I've spent years now with people talking about these ideas, I've discovered that a lot of people find themselves in what feels like a no man's land between worthiness and belonging. Yeah. And I speak to it a little bit in Lovable, but I'm excited to get to talk more about it here. It's encapsulated by this sort of joke or anecdote that's told by this theologian and philosopher, Peter Rollins. And it goes something like this. A man calls up a psychoanalyst and says, "You know, doctor, I need your help. I think I'm chicken feet on the ground, and it's a terrifying way to live. Can you help me with that?" The psychoanalyst says, "Yeah, I can try. So why don't you come on in?" So the man goes in, you know, psychoanalysis, so 5 days a week for several years. And after a few years, the doctor says, "You know, I think you're cured. I think we can discharge you. You know, you're not chicken feet on the ground. You know who you are. You're a human being, and you're good to go." And so they discharge him. And about a week later, the doctor gets a call from the man. And the man says, just frantic, he says, "Doctor, I need to come in right away. I have new neighbors who moved in and they have chickens." And the doctor says, "Well, I don't understand. You know you're a human being." And the guy says, "I know I'm a human being, but do the chickens know?" Right? And I think that's the place that initially we find ourselves as we're rediscovering our sense of worthiness. Right. It's like, I know I'm worthy of love and belonging, but do the people out there know? Like, are they going to treat me like I'm worthy of love?
Another vote of confidence. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Are they going to peck at me like I'm chicken feet on the ground, and that's going to hurt? And so there's this really brave moment, I think, for most people where they've begun to re-embrace their sense of worthiness, and they have to step out on faith, trusting that when they do, it's not going to all feel great. There's going to be tough moments. Mm-hmm. There's going to be people who do peck at them. Yeah. But in the process, that they're going to be sort of starting to discover the people who really see them for who they are and appreciate it.
Yep. It seems like this is a moment, and you and I have geeked out for years over the dialogue of true self, false self. And you know, in Lesson 2, I think is kind of the discovery, the rediscovery, the remembering, right, of the true self. And it was my introduction to the true self that really introduced me to the false self.
Right on. That's it.
That was, golly, I mean, talk about a journey. That was a journey in itself. In Lovable, you call the false self like the ego castle. Talk to me about kind of summarizing that metaphor, this language that we use when we talk about the false self and the ego.
Yeah. Well, it's so important what you just said, that for a lot of us, our introduction to our false self is the true self. Yeah. It's like you can't see the false self until you've retreated a little bit from it.
I didn't know I had that, because this is all I ever thought I was.
Exactly. It'd be like, you know, that you awoke into consciousness as an actor on a stage. Yeah. And you thought, yes, you were the part you were playing the whole time. Yes. And then someone says, you know, cut, you know, take it again. And you're like, oh, wait, yeah, I'm not that. Yeah. I'm Joe Smith, who has another life out here. And so, I think that's important, because it's hard enough to release the false self, but if you don't have something else that you're settling into as you do, I just don't, I just, don't know that it's possible to mm-hmm. exist. And so that's why the worthiness piece comes first. And then so much of finding belonging is now about learning how to live and love from that true self mm-hmm. rather than the false self that we've been living and loving from all the time. So you got a lot of habits to break. You got a lot of relational patterns to disrupt. And those are really ingrained. And so this is not an overnight process. It's a lifelong process of now learning how to show up as I truly am and not enacting all the patterns of the false self. And as you said, we call it the ego castle unlovable. And I think that metaphor is one that has sort of outpaced others. You know, you try to talk about the ego in various ways because it's sort of abstract, and it's the one that always seems to be most helpful to people, most practical. And the idea is that if we could go back to that moment where shame really took hold and we said, uh-oh, my true self isn't good enough for love and belonging. I need to build a self that is, that goes out into the world and gets me the love and belonging I so badly want. That the first layer of sort of false self that we add, our ego, is like a wall on a castle mm-hmm. and it sort of hides us away, hides our true self away. I don't want anybody to see that because it seems like when they do, I get shamed for it. So I want to now hide that away and sort of blend into the scenery, right? I want to, it's where you see kids like in around third, fourth grade start to like wear the same clothes as everybody else and form cliques. And these are ego walls beginning to be built. And then somewhere around middle school, usually, and this is why junior high is just a brutal place to be, we add cannons to the ego walls. And these are the more aggressive, mean, critical, angry things that we do to sort of like, basically like strike first before we can get struck. Mm-hmm. You know? And then somewhere in early adulthood, usually when we started to have some success and we've gotten our feet underneath us, we add ego thrones to this ego castle. And these are the things that we've done where we've established like, hey, I've proven I'm worthy now. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Look what I have. And so we really spend, I think, from about third or fourth grade through early adulthood, building this false self and learning how to live.
Some through their 60s and 70s.
I mean, you know, it is probably not the norm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's, I mean, if while we're talking about it, you and I are both, let's be gracious, we'll just say entering our midlife, right?
There you go.
And if you want to like, what is a midlife crisis? It's a moment of decision. Do I double down on my false self? Mm-hmm. Or do I begin to release that false self and return to my true self? I mean, it's almost always that, right? And so, yeah, so let's say through midlife, oftentimes we're building that false self. And then there comes this opportunity to begin to release that and figure out how to show up to your people as your true self and see who says, hey, man, been waiting for you. Great to see you. I'm your ride or die. Let's do this. And so it's a pretty intense time of life, but what comes out of it is a true sense of belonging.
Yeah. And I think the language of walls, cannons, thrones, those are good filters. This is an awareness that has to be cultivated. But am I getting behind a wall? Am I loading the cannon? Am I standing on my throne? Great red flags to, am I trying to protect something?
That's right.
You know, language that you and I are robbing from a whole lineage of folks that we stand behind.
That's right.
The true self is unoffendable. The true self is never not at rest. It's
That's
never
right.
not at peace. It's eternal okayness. And so I think that like that's language that really helps me, right? When the heart starts to beat a little bit faster, the face turns red, the palms sweat, is there a wall? Is there a cannon? Or am I, you know, standing on a throne? Probably a good red flag to go, hey, who's here? The one that is true, the one that is eternally okay, or the one that always is easily offended and has to protect something?
That is such a valuable teaching. You know, I do get the question, okay, well, now that I am aware I have a false self, an ego castle, what do I do? And one of the more basic recommendations that I make is the first thing you do in the morning and the last thing you do at night is flip through your phone. right? You flip through your apps. What if instead you flip through your ego? So at night you go, huh, where did I show up behind my walls today? Yeah. Or not show up behind my walls? Where did I man my cannons? Or as my wife says, archers, because women are more likely to use precision strikes that cut close to the bone. And where did I sit on my throne? And do that self inventory. And then in the morning, ask yourself the same, am I waking up behind a wall, mm-hmm. Behind a cannon, mm-hmm. on a throne? And you'll be amazed. It'll be different than where, mm-hmm. you ended up the night before. Mm-hmm. But boy, what a better start to your day to say, now I have a moment of choice, mm-hmm. right? I think it was Viktor Frankl said, between every stimulus and response, there's
lies
a moment
our
of
destiny.
Choice.
Yep.
You
yep.
got it. Yep. And so if you can just create that moment of choice by going, huh, I'm waking up behind my cannon, I just want to fire at somebody today, you now have a choice to live from true self instead. So I think that is a super valuable teaching. And I'll tell you, my New Year's resolution this year, first time I've ever carried a New Year's resolution, mm-hmm. past about January 4th, was to be mindful of when I feel my heart closing, hmm. and open it back up. And everything you described in that teaching you just gave us about that, like, you can feel it's a bodily, yep. experience, yep. when you start protecting, right? Yep. You can feel a tightening, somatic, a shutting down. If you notice that happening, you're witnessing your false self take over. You're feeling in danger and you're going to need protection. So your false self is going to take over. And now you create another moment of choice. Mm-hmm. Can I open that space back up within me with a breath, with a moment of stillness? Can I think, how would my true self, which is always eternally okay, yep. how would it engage in this moment if I could trust that that was true, yep. you know? Yep. And so that's been a very valuable practice for me this year.
Yep. Yep. I mean, even just the invitation of, becoming steady Eddie, a little bit more steady, right. Eddie in your life. Like, who of us cannot use that, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
And I think that is the rediscovery, the consistent remembering. It's mm-hmm. it's work, but as we cultivate that space, I think that's what you get is once again lighter and brighter.
That's right. It's the work of awareness, which always leads to that lightness.
The great predecessor, as I call it.
That's right. The great predecessor. I love that.
So this lesson, it's called Don't Find Your People, Let Them Find You. In light of this ego castle that we just described, what do you mean by don't find your people, let them find you?
Well, the lovely thing about every castle is it's got a drawbridge, right? And that drawbridge is controlled from the inside. And imagine that. No one can really connect with you until you lower that drawbridge and come out, hmm. and show people who you are. And what I've discovered over time in working, well, in my own journey and in working with folks, is that really most of the work of belonging is learning how to lower that drawbridge, hmm. stepping out of the ego, stepping out of the protections, and showing up authentically. And what you have an opportunity to do in that moment is look around and see who else has done the same thing. Like, who else has got their drawbridges down, right? And is showing up authentically. And amongst those people, like, who do you resonate with? And the lovely thing in that moment is probably not everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's okay, mm-hmm. right? Again, like, there's nothing on the line here. Like, I'm showing up authentically and you're showing up authentically. And I'm not sure we'll spend a ton of time together. But, oh, you? Like, mm-hmm. we seem to vibe on this, you know, and there's no rejection in this. It's just that I'm a human with a certain amount of time. And so the clarity that you begin to get about your circles of belonging as you find each other, right, and begin to recognize each other in your authenticity simplifies the entire process. It takes a lot of the stress and the danger out of this process of finding belonging.
Yeah. You lose that need to have your personal like button hit.
That's
your,
right.
Your need to be retweeted, your need to be whatever that looks like, that becomes less and less interesting. The camaraderie and the community, it's just a natural byproduct, right?
That's flow, a natural byproduct.
Flow, not force.
If
there's one thing the true self is trying to get us all to understand, saddle up with flow. And put force on the sideline, because it's not for everything you're trying to force in life is not going so well. But that which you allow to just flow, beautiful things happen.
it's interesting as I practice that practice of open up your heart this year, catch it closing and open it up. The number one most common awareness I have in that moment is I'm trying to force something in a relationship and I'm not just letting it flow. Right. So what would it look like to let it flow right now? No, that is right on. What a wonderful teaching.
So you kind of make it sound easy, but is finding our belonging like mostly just fun and games or really what are we getting at here in this lesson?
Well, I mean, I think there is some relief, like you said, some lightness in terms of, you know, you might find a person, for instance, not very interested in you. And you go, I get it. Like, I'm not their flavor, right? And there's no pressure to force those things to happen. So there's a lightness that comes with it. But I also think the reality is most of us, when we remember our true self, lower that drawbridge and step out authentically, there are going to be plenty of people in our lives who don't recognize us and sort of maybe want us to go back in the castle because there were some ways that was working for them. And so what you see, and this is the hard part, I think it's the hardest part about finding belonging, is that you will see some of your circles of belonging shrink at first. You'll see some things, some relationships that maybe you thought were going to last for the long haul, not last. And this is a painful thing, and we're going to have to give it relatively short shrift here in this lesson. But it's something to be digging in with our lovable learning community about like, how do I discern this? What's that process like? But there is a stretch here where there's some relationships that fall by the wayside. And in a lot of ways, that's okay, because again, we have a limited amount of time. Those people need to go find the people that they truly belong to so that you can go find yours.
And we all, you know, the doorways of great love and great suffering.
That's right.
We haven't all experienced those. That was one hard lesson that I had to learn, right? Is you enter into some of these new realms, new worlds, you're seeing with new eyes, and you've tasted something that someone else hasn't. And there's a bit of an angst there. Like, why can't they taste this? And they haven't seen what you haven't seen. Why aren't they seeing? That's some camouflaged ego work.
That's true.
That has to be done there. But I think when you can, once again, stand back in between that stimulus and the response, just know your need to fast forward everyone to where you are is also another ego flex. And the ego just becomes more and more clever the more and more you get to know how he operates in your life.
And I love what you just said, because it's important to acknowledge the ego doesn't, you know, you don't tear down a castle. You know, you don't knock it down and obliterate it forever. You're sort of in this dance of moving in and out of it, trying to live outside of it as much as possible, but it has clever ways of reasserting itself and inviting you back in. So that's that dance with the ego and with the true self. That's what it's all about when we're finding belonging.
Right on. Well, beautiful lesson on belonging, and looking forward to get into lesson 4, purpose, the thing you never knew you always wanted to do.